Here's something I think we're all guilty of. Coming up with the right title on a Strava event post as an excuse for a ride where you didn't have a killer ride time or inspiring average speed. Even when you were just going out for a fun ride by yourself or with friends. But why do we do that? Why do we feel the need to make excuses for rides where we had fun, but also want to make sure that the person scrolling through our timeline recognizes that, oh yeah, could have gone way, way faster, but you know, I held back to be with my friends. Who are we trying to impress with that, and why does it matter? Well, let's grab a chair and chat about it. We all love going out for leisurely fun rides, right? They're not training rides, but more of a, you know, the weather's beautiful, let's get out on the bike and enjoy the day kind of rides. Ones where we're not trying to set any PRs or show the world how awesome we are on the bike. These are just times where we want to get out, enjoy the bike, and go for a ride. One ride recently I didn't even have my bike computer mounted on the handlebars. I used the Strava app on my phone to record the ride, but my phone stayed in my jersey pocket the whole time. I couldn't see what my pace was, how long I had been out, or even how far I had ridden. All I knew was I was outside, riding my bike, and enjoying the moment. When the ride was done, I stopped the recording and titled it, DC Was Crowded, Wall-to-Wall People. You see, for about a quarter of the ride, I was in DC, and it really was wall-to-wall people. With it being summertime, and so tourists from all over had landed in the area, overflowing the sidewalks and, well, basically any other place they felt they wanted to walk. Middle of intersections, bike lanes, you get the idea. But, I mean, aside from the random person blocking traffic or the lane, I didn't really care too much. Sure, it was a little bit of a hassle to maneuver around them, and of course my plans had changed because there were too many people. But it wasn't horrible. I slowly cruised on the DC Mall, avoiding people, but not really swerving in and out either. It was an adventure, to say the least. Now, if I was trying to work up a big sweat, I probably would have been frustrated. I mean, not necessarily at the crowds. They were, for the most part, kind of well-behaved, and they were also out just enjoying the beautiful day. But those crowds did destroy any hope I had for a decent average speed for the ride. I could picture that pace kind of dropping the more and more I squeezed the brakes to avoid people. And if I had my Wahoo on my handlebars, showing my average pace dropping like a stone, yeah, it probably would have driven me a little crazy. I would know that posting this ride up on social media would mean people would then see a slow snail's pace that I did, and no one wants that, right? But here's the thing. Who cares? A bike ride is a bike ride, right? Well, I mean, I care. To a certain extent. Whether we like to admit it or not, we're competitive with people on our social media outlets, even if we don't know who they are. We feel like there's a need to justify why we weren't setting new personal records on our rides, despite no one really caring. It seems we're constantly trying to show off or prove ourselves to everyone as to maybe why we deserve to be on a bike and worthy of posting to places like Strava. Oh no, I can't let that slow-paced ride look like I'm not a fast rider. I better type in some excuse as to why the ride was slow. The unnecessary posturing can be mind-boggling. I'm a little ashamed that I would take this approach on any ride that might have shown my performance in any slow light. But why was I trying to hype myself up? Especially given that in any face-to-face conversation, I'll be the first one to say that I'm an okay cyclist. You know, just your average cyclist. So why would I say one thing in person and try to express something totally different online? It's kind of an easy one. In person, you know who you're talking to and can relax because they know you and they know what to expect. But online, you don't know who's looking at you or your stats, and so it's the perfect space to to try and give a better, more curated first impression to new eyes. These unknown eyes have no foundational knowledge of your riding history. These unknown eyes haven't ridden with you in the past. And so the approach then becomes something akin to explaining why you deserve to be posting on Strava, or deserve to be wearing a jersey, or have a cool looking bike. I mean, I do think my bike is pretty damn cool looking. But there's a downfall to taking that approach, right? Of course, because the proof is in the pudding. Here I am, trying to only highlight the best and greatest rides to make me look like some sort of speed machine. It's not the case. But what happens when I hit the road with a strong rider and they're thinking, I'm on the same level as them? Well, they have a certain expectation of my abilities, and when I either can't keep up or I'm struggling after keeping up for a bit, that can be frustrating to everyone involved. I had set unreasonable expectations on what I'm able to do to the fellow riders who were anticipating a certain level of intensity on this ride. And you see, that's the trouble with trying to cultivate a specific social media presence that isn't an accurate representation of oneself. And yet, we as a society already know this. We know that what we see on social media is not real life. We know that we're being shown an edited and massaged version of reality. But it's painting a reality that we want to have for ourselves. We want that fast pace, the new fancy bike, the adventures out on the open road. We want those things because we're comparing the fantasy of what we're seeing with the reality of what we're living. The amazing multi-day adventure bikepacking that looks like it was nothing but fun times and smiles and laughs along the way? Well, yeah, it looks appealing, but what aren't we seeing? We're not seeing the points in the day where things didn't go as planned, where someone runs into trouble or just doesn't have the capacity to be on. I'm not saying everything you see is fake and that everyone is lying to you. There are videos and stories out there of people on these adventures, and we're shown not just the triumphs, but also the pitfalls. Amy and Orla, I'll link them, are perfect examples. But what we don't see is all the preparation and work and sacrifice that went into getting that rider to a certain skill level, or all the pre-planning, the partnerships, the sacrifices that went into making those big trips happen. If you measure yourself against these carefully curated snapshots, you're not making a fair comparison. You're holding yourself up to an impossible standard that doesn't reflect the full picture of anyone's cycling experience. It's easy to fall into the trap of comparison, especially in the age of social media, where every ride, climb, and personal best is shared for the world to see. You scroll through your feed and you see cyclists tackling massive mountain passes, logging hundreds of miles a week, or showing off their pristine high-end bikes. It can be inspiring, but it can also be discouraging. If you find yourself feeling like your own rides aren't impressive enough, or that you're somehow behind in your cycling journey, it's time to take a step back and remember why you ride in the first place. I'm always talking about the why. Every cyclist is on their own unique journey, shaped by different factors like experience, fitness levels, time commitments, and even personal goals. Some riders have years of structured training under their belts, while others are just getting started. Some have the luxury of endless free time to explore new routes, while others balance cycling with work, family, and other responsibilities. Your progress and accomplishments are valid, regardless of how they might or might not stack up against someone else's. What matters most is that you're riding, improving at your own pace, and enjoying the journey. For us mere mortals, cycling isn't just about speed, distance, or epic locations. The essence of riding is a personal joy, whether that means a leisurely cruise through the countryside, a quick spin around the block, or a challenging ride that pushes your limits. If you focus too much on what others are doing, you risk losing sight of what makes cycling meaningful to you. Social media can be an incredible tool for motivation and connection, especially if you follow accounts that inspire you and not intimidate you. You can engage with cyclists who uplift and encourage others, or are on the same journey as you. Social media should enhance your love for cycling, not diminish it. As Twain said, comparison is the death of joy. I do love a good Twain quote. Most importantly, remember that no one else's ride or performance level diminishes yours. Someone else's century ride doesn't make your 10-mile loop any less valuable. Another cyclist's podium finish doesn't mean your local group ride wasn't worthwhile. Every ride you take strengthens your body, clears your mind, and brings you one step closer to your own personal goals. Instead of comparing, focus on progress, your progress. I admit, I'm still maneuvering through this approach and working on ejecting some of these bad habits. One small change I've done is leaving the default title on Strava for my rides, unless there's something special or significant around that particular ride, like my Bike MS rides. If there was something I wanted to remember about that ride, for me, then I'll alter the title. Otherwise, I just leave it alone, regardless of what my performance was that day. This is requiring me to be more comfortable in confronting my true and accurate level of capabilities on the bike, instead of trying to find ways to massage the results into looking like I'm better than what the numbers say, because of some reason. And that's just kind of the thing, isn't it? Just another way we have to learn to be comfortable in our own skin and accept ourselves for who we are instead of who we want others to think we are. At the end of the day, cycling is about freedom, personal challenge, and a simple joy of riding. Whether you ride fast or slow, short distances or long, alone or with friends, what matters most is that you ride for yourself. All right, yes. The irony of this being a social media rant, teetering far too heavy on the overly positive cheerleading of listen to me and be yourself by not listening to others, or overly saccharine self-help soapboxes, is not lost on me. And yeah, I've spewed this rainbow and unicorn diatribe about breaking free and being oneself. I recognize you're not hearing anything new here. I'm not shining a spotlight on an issue that already hasn't been saturated in the online space of all places. Well, since the emergence of social media and influencers. No new ground is being broken, and I recognize that. This is just a gentle reminder that I think we all sometimes need to hear from time to time. I've seen various approaches to this topic, and yet even after watching or reading any of these, it only curbs my comparison tendencies for a short period of time, and then I'm right back at it. So I thought, for my sake, and hopefully for someone else's, that putting these thoughts out there could help do a little course correction. Speaking of areas that get influenced by social media and being comfortable in my own skin, something else that's been on my mind lately is trying to get healthier and losing some weight. But you know what? That's gonna have to wait until next time. Thanks for hanging out with me at the cafe stop. Let's do this again soon.